Trend number one, America's 21st century demographics opportunity. By the year 2050, there will be at least 100 million more Americans than there are today. This is particularly significant when you consider the fact that the rest of the world's affluent industrial nations will either shrink or grow very little. This demographic surge will place new stresses on the environment and infrastructure, but it will also underpin an era of renewed growth and prosperity. New homes and even new cities will have to be built, along with new businesses and new ways of communicating and working. In the book, The Next 100 Million, Joel Kotkin reports that the U.S. fertility rate is half again higher than that of Russia, Germany, and Japan, while remaining well above that of China, Italy, Singapore, Korea, and Eastern Europe. And even more importantly, immigration is adding further to America's population growth. Consequently, the United States will be made up of an increasingly rich mixture of diverse ethnic types, including Europeans, Africans, Asians, and Latinos. That population will also remain relatively young. As we approach mid-century, a third or more of the population in Europe and East Asia will be older than 65, while only a fifth of Americans will be that old. This fact suggests a future for America that is starkly different from what many historians expect. To put it simply, the much-anticipated decline of the world's greatest power isn't going to happen for a long time. Some of these scholars have likened the United States to the Roman and British empires in their waning days. Paul Kennedy, a history professor at Yale, popularized this notion with his book, The Rise and Fall of Great Powers. And even Bill Gates and Warren Buffett have publicly stated that the U.S. is in a long-term decline. That's why they've increasingly turned their investing toward China and India. But such pessimism flies in the face of the evidence. The American economy and the American people have proved time and again to be the most resilient and resourceful in the world, and especially in times of crisis. Part of their track record is due to the basic American characteristic of independence and ingenuity. The most recent recession showed, for example, that the United States weathered the hard times far better than countries in Europe. And, according to the European Central Bank, growth in Europe during the coming decade will be half that in the United States. Not even China is likely to keep up with the growth of the United States, as its population will rapidly age after about 2025. It will certainly not match the per capita income of Americans any time in the next few decades. And while India will have a youthful population, and it has done a superb job of educating top-flight engineers, doctors, and scientists, those people represent only a very small fraction of a population that is largely impoverished and illiterate. The U.S. produces more engineers per capita than India, and those American engineers are, for the most part, far more productive. Another wave of unfounded pessimism has to do with widespread misconceptions about the American heartland, or what some people call flyover territory. The United States is one of the very few nations in the world that enjoys an immense yet highly accessible geography, entirely out of proportion to its population. Like Australia, Canada, and Russia, most of the United States is still uninhabited. But unlike those other enormous countries, most of our land area has genuine economic value. In fact, it's the richest and most plentiful natural resource in the world. For instance, America has more arable land per capita than any other nation. That's one reason why Americans spend such a tiny fraction of their income on food, about 10% on average. Many critics have lamented our abundance of unoccupied land as representing a kind of decline of its own. The New York Times recently referred to North Dakota as not far from forsaken. A husband and wife team of academics, Frank and Deborah Popper, suggested removing all people from the Great Plains and turning it into a national park populated by buffalo. This, once again, overlooks the clear facts of the matter. Fargo, North Dakota, for example, grew by more than 20% in the decade ending in 2000. Meanwhile, Sioux Falls, Des Moines, and Bismarck are all enjoying growth above the national average. In fact, the population of the Great Plains has doubled since the 1950s. Just in the 90s alone, the population of that region grew by 17%, adding almost 7 million people. Significantly, most of those were in or near smaller cities, which represent the real future of the American heartland. A realistic view of this country's midsection is that it represents the greatest untapped natural resource we have, and therefore the greatest area of opportunity for the next 100 million citizens. Where we see farms today, agriculture will certainly continue. But this region will also be a hotbed of innovation for the high-tech, energy, manufacturing, and transportation industries. New fortunes are waiting to be made out of the heartland. This will be especially true as urban environments become more and more expensive and crowded. And let's not forget that oil and gas is still plentiful in Wyoming, Montana, the Dakotas, and Texas. Local entrepreneurs have taken the initiative to find and extract those resources to sell to the major oil companies, enriching their local communities. In light of the fundamental demographic changes ahead, we offer the following 6 forecasts for your consideration. First, expect a revitalization of the most desolate urban areas as cities reinvent themselves. Consider Detroit. With the dramatic decline of the big 3 automakers, the city went into a steep decline, with vast areas of real estate left vacant. But millionaire John Hance saw opportunities in urban farming that could transform the town and re-employ laid-off workers. Hance made a $30 million investment to begin supplying local stores and restaurants with produce while remaking the city with a pastoral image. Look for ideas such as this to catch on in other cities with troubled areas as the next 100 million Americans apply their entrepreneurial spirit to these opportunities. Second, many of today's suburban areas will become urbanized. As technology allows more and more people to work at or near their homes, the suburbs will gradually evolve into metropolitan areas that will be self-sufficient and will require little commuting. 80% of Americans already live in the suburbs, which enjoy faster growth of income and jobs, lower crime rates, and higher numbers of people who own their own homes than the cities do. By 2030, more than 20% of all American workers will work at home in these newly urbanized suburbs. Third, cities will become more youthful and vibrant than ever before. Although suburbs will dominate, young people will still flock to cities for the excitement, the community, and the cultural opportunities. By 2050, there will be about 15 to 20 million additional residents in large cities. The trend will be for young people to move there for a time and then exit to the suburbs to have and raise their families. Much of this new urban growth will occur inland in cities such as Phoenix, San Antonio, Dallas, Atlanta, and Charlotte. The most successful of these cities will disproportionately attract businesses, professionals, and academic institutions at the high end of the economic scale. Fourth, in relative terms, the American heartland will be the site of the greatest population growth and the greatest opportunities. Since information technology makes geography less important, more people, especially in the professions, will move to the heartland for the quality of life. And that will trigger an avalanche of development as companies go there to provide services and to find the best deals for talent, as well as offices, warehouses, and manufacturing facilities. Minneapolis or Nashville could join cities like Raleigh and Austin as high-tech centers. Fifth, ironically, new kinds of agriculture will evolve in the midst of the information age. In the global economy, basic foods are being produced in abundance by Australia, Canada, Argentina, Brazil, Russia, Ukraine, and Kazakhstan, to name a few of the nations that are ratcheting up their agribusinesses. American farming will evolve in two directions. The first will produce specialty crops and very high-quality foods, such as wines and organic foods. The production of organic foods was already a $22.7 billion worldwide business as of 2007, having doubled in just 5 years. That segment will keep growing rapidly over at least the next decade, with the U.S. continuing to produce almost half of all organics. The second development will be in the area of biofuels, which will be produced in the heartland primarily from non-food crops. And sixth, American population growth between now and 2050 will drive an era of prosperity that will be self-reinforcing. It will be characterized by strong GDP growth and a rise in the standard of living as waves of innovation arise to meet the new demands. That, in turn, will spark a new wave of immigration, as well-educated people from other nations see what America has to offer and come here to contribute and make their fortunes. It will be an era of great new businesses, the creation of great new wealth, and the spread of prosperity far wider than we can now imagine.